Amid security concerns, what you can carry aboard a plane is under discussion today. For Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. If the Washington Post's unnamed source is correct, the sensitive, if not highly classified, information President Trump shared with the Russian foreign minister the other day was about how ISIS was working on bombs in laptops. In fact, U.S. and European officials are meeting in Brussels today to discuss a global approach to banning laptops in the cabins of flights from some airports. The U.S. and Britain already have some bans in place. Marketplace's Jed Kim has more on today's meeting.
Transatlantic flights can be long and boring, but they give business travelers valuable hours to work on their tablets and laptops. Michael Boyd, an aviation consultant, says a ban on them would be a deterrent to flying.
Many of those business people will say, I'll find other ways of communicating, because if I can't take my laptop, I won't be effective on this trip.
If would-be travelers instead opt for, say, video conferencing, airlines could see big losses.
They make up over 50% of the revenue. So everyone you lose because he or she does not want to check their MacBook Pro is going to be a real hit.
Brian Summers is with travel industry website Skift. He says a ban wouldn't just hurt airlines and business travelers, but also the U.S. tourism industry.
Hotels and rental car companies and tour companies and really anybody who deals with tourists on a day-to-day basis.
Some experts see today's meeting as a sign the ban will likely go through. A spokesman for the Department of Homeland Security says no decision has yet been made. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE stock index in London is down 2 points. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 3 to 4 tenths% range. The Dow future is minus 81 right now. Freelancers in New York who have trouble getting paid on time or sometimes at all have a new law on their side. The Freelance Isn't Free Act went into effect this week. It is a first. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Freelancers make up one-third of New York City's workforce, and they're shorted an average of $6,000 a year. That's according to the Freelancers Union, which represents workers nationwide. Union head Sarah Horowitz says enough was enough.
It was just getting to be an epidemic. People were coming in and feeling like this was happening to them individually, and then they started to realize, oh my God, this is happening to other people.
So the union convened the city's top labor lawyers and came up with the language for this law. It requires contracts to spell out exactly when freelancers will be paid. Liz Vladek with the city's Department of Consumer Affairs says there's also an upside for employers.
It's always better for everyone if the terms are clear and they've been agreed upon and they're followed.
Vladek says companies will have to pay double damages and cover attorney fees if they're sued and lose. The Freelancers Union has also launched a mobile app to connect freelancers on a tight budget with a network of lawyers who can help them out. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Federal securities regulators are reportedly now thinking twice about their initial approval of a fancy new financial instrument. Some companies are pushing to sell these devices called 4X funds. And here's the Marketplace teachable moment. What is a quadruple levered ETF? Well, you know, ETF is a basket of stocks that you can trade in and out of like a single stock. Well, these newfangled quadruple levered things are rigged to multiply the moves. If the underlying ETF goes up 2%, the 4X fund is supposed to go up maybe 8%. If it goes down 10%, this thing goes down 40%, but don't let that worry you. The 4X funds do this using derivatives. The Wall Street Journal today says the SEC could now put these things on hold after staff first approved it to better consider the risks and rewards, presumably. One out of 12 people in the U.S. between the ages of 18 and 64 identifies as having some sort of disability. For this group, using the internet can be tough. From Atlanta, WABE's Tasneem Shama reports Georgia is trying to make online digital resources more accessible to people with disabilities.
What does the internet sound like if you're blind? First of all, you'd be using a software program called a screen reader. And if you visited, for example, the Georgia government's website, you'd hear this.
Georgia.gov. Georgia.gov same page link. Skip the main content banner. Visited link graphic Georgia.gov. Visited heading level 1 link Georgia.gov.
That may be tough to understand, but if you're blind, it tells you what's on the screen and helps you navigate to information you need. Georgia.gov is coded so a screen reader makes sense. And if you have poor vision, the fonts are larger, there's a good color contrast, and the links and photos are descriptive. The state won a national award from a group that represents government IT departments for making the site easy to use for people with disabilities. John Rempel, an accessibility expert at Georgia Tech, says as the population ages, more people will need these services.
We're all going to have some disability at some point in our lives.
He has low vision and uses a screen reader. Federal government agencies are legally required to make websites and platforms accessible to people with disabilities. But Rempel says more companies and cities are trying to comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Hattie Rangan is an accessibility expert at the University of Washington. He's also blind. He says most developers and designers are not being taught how to code for people with disabilities.
So how should we expect that they know about accessibility?
So some universities like his are now teaching what's become known as inclusive design. Kendra Skeen is with the web team at Georgia.gov. She says usually people like her have only the general user in mind.
And I've even heard people say, well, if they can't see my advertisement, then I don't need them on my site. They're cutting off a huge percentage of people.
So far, about half of state agencies in Georgia have websites coded for screen readers. In Atlanta, I'm Tasneem Shamma for Marketplace.
And there's a fight fermenting in Massachusetts as state regulators push back against beer giant Anheuser-Busch InBev. The Budweiser people like giving bars fancy gifts, like full-on refrigerators, if those fridges only stock Bud products. A hearing in Boston is set for next month. My grandfather owned a bar in Brooklyn for years, and he got a pretty awesome Seagram's clock and some trays with the Ballantine logo. High's Bar and Grill long gone. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.